You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, so we did a little bit of spooky or scary or creepy talk in the first part of the show, but right now we've switched gears and we have just another great Northeast Wisconsin-based singer-songwriter here in the studio. Strategic is here. It's great to have you. Did you find the place okay?
Yes, I've been here before.
Yeah, oh, that's right. You were on the morning show when the guys were here. Okay.
Yes.
So, all right, so I have to ask you, let's start with, because I know you also do kids' music too, and I want to talk to you about that, but I would love to have you perform something first as Strategic.
Do you want me to talk about that a little bit, or do you want me to play the song?
Well, you could tell us about the song first. That'd be great, yeah.
Okay. You want me to do a kids' song, or?
No, I got ahead of myself.
I don't want to say normal, but
I got out over my skis. Let's stay focused on you, and then we'll do the kid stuff once we're done talking about your focus here. So tell us a little bit about the song you want to perform and what song.
Well, I had planned on only doing the kids' songs, but I can do another one.
Fill our hearts with song if you're so inclined.
So I released an album last year called Possibilities, and I'll play the title track for you, which is one of my favorite songs to play live. We talked about the shaker pedal and doing all the looping and stuff like that. So this one's really fun to play live and do all those things. And it just talks about basically, you know, there's every day there's so many choices and opportunities and chances and taking advantage of and hopefully making the best of it.
And what's this song called?
Possibilities.
Possibilities. Love it. All right, here's Strategic.
So many things that could come true today. I don't want to get in my, I don't want to get my own way. I start to wonder if I am living right. Can't help but wonder how I am living life. I just can't deny the way I feel inside. Yeah, I just can't deny the possibilities.
Yeah.
And so what would you do if you could change your life? There is no guarantee you would always get it right. Take a chance on something new. There is so much to do. And so what will you choose? It's all your point of view. I just can't deny the way I feel inside. Yeah, I just can't deny the possibility.
Very nice.
Thank you.
What are you considered, like, how do you define your music? Just acoustic rock? Or you seem like you have other things you typically put into a performance that you don't have with you. You just have your guitar, obviously. But, like, how would you describe it?
Yeah, I have a lot going on, so it's hard to boil it down. I could talk about live looping, kids music, Christmas music, acoustic pop rock.
But like
so
that,
I try to boil it down.
What
to,
we just heard there.
Yeah, acoustic pop rock.
Okay, acoustic pop rock. Yeah, that's a great tune. How many albums do you have?
I've got a couple of full-length albums and a couple of EPs, which are shorter projects that I've put out. Yeah.
That's great. I'm fascinated by, like, with musicians, when your writing process or your creative process. Mm. How do you sit down to write? Does the mood capture you and then you go lock yourself away? What is your process?
I try to be pretty natural with it. Like, I'll go on like a cabin writing retreat and try to focus, solely on, getting some songs done and writing, maybe coming up with some new ideas. When the mood strikes, it's probably best to try and run with it and see, where is this taking me? It can kind of be a little bit of everything for me. Like, sometimes I'll be very intentional.
Okay.
I want to write a song right now. Like, but other times it's just like, and this happens probably more often, is where you're showering or you're driving and it's like, oh, a great song idea,
And you don't have a pen.
It's like, what do I do right now? But pull out the voice memo and so it's a little bit of everything.
Well, how do you write? Like, do you typically write lyrics first or music first? Or is there a rule to that? Or is it just what you're feeling in the moment?
Most of the time it's the music first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I love playing acoustic guitar. And so that's kind of where everything starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are your influences?
Oh boy.
You grew up listening to.
So many. Again, it's hard to boil it down, but a lot of Tom Petty and like 80s and 90s pop and rock stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Fleetwood Mac obviously is there's some artists that I just say are obvious influences, but yeah, it's I guess some of the more like rock artists like Switchfoot is kind of an influence. Trying to rack my brain right now.
Any local influences or Wisconsin bands that you sort of looked up to or found some motivation from?
Yeah. Back to the Milwaukee days, there was a band called Northern Room that we really followed a lot. And they were similar to another artist I was going to mention called Mute Meth. Another big influence, but around here, I think probably more so in the last couple of years, I kind of started to get more into the folky side of things. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of songs that are lean more that way. So tried branching out in the last, especially probably 5 years, with some jazz chords and how can I incorporate some different things with what I've been doing and make things sound fresh and exciting and, keep going and growing and things like that.
It's gotta be, I'm sure every musician that starts out or whatever art form you have, you want to kind of redesign the genre or you want to come up with something. And everybody says, or at least the people in power say, it's all been done. But how do you still have that desire to do something like that? Or are you just like, this is my niche and this is what I want to get great at? Or do you ever say, I want to do something completely different?
Yeah, I definitely do. That's kind of how the kids' songs came along.
Okay.
That just happened pretty naturally coming out of COVID or during COVID and coming out of that. But the last few projects, and I think it all kind of started when I decided to do a reimagined songs project of my own material.
Okay.
Kind of a amalgamation of different things, some live tracks. And so then I was thinking, how can I, again, get a little bit more things incorporated with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And trying to keep things fresh. So does that answer?
It does.
I kind of got off track there.
No. That's a great answer. My guest is Strategic. He is here in the studio with me. We just heard his song Possibilities. Great song. Where can people hear more of your stuff or find you? Are you on all the basic social media platforms?
Yes, I am on all the socials, except for, what's the big one?
Twitter?
Can't even think of X. it right now. No.
Instagram.
No, the one the kids are using. I'm not on that one.
Snapchat?
I'm not on there.
Is that Snapchat? Okay. I don't know. I couldn't even know.
There's another one. I can't think of it right now. But to answer your question, yes, I'm on all the socials, and you can find all my music on Spotify. I always direct people to Bandcamp, too, because it's more of an independent option, and it's... They do these Bandcamp Fridays where the artist makes 100%. So I always try to promote that too. And like, it's just a good place to go for, you know, if you want to buy merch or name your price to buy a song or something.
Yeah. So tell us about your new venture with the kids' music. Do you still go by Strategic or is that
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about that.
And, yeah. Like I said, it all kind of happened really naturally, with my kids. Mostly with my kids. I had a couple ideas that were kind of ping-ponging around, and just sometimes, you know, you'll have a word or something and it's like, well, what is that? You know, and
yeah.
Kind of see where it takes you. But we just started making these silly songs, and just kind of once it started, it was like a waterfall. It was like, all of a sudden there's like 28 songs.
Oh, wow.
That I had. And that I thought were good enough to go and record. So I split it up into two volumes, and I released the first one 3 years ago. And then this newest one, volume two, just came out recently.
And your kids collaborate with you on this or give you ideas?
How does that work? Yes. Okay. Yeah. I've brought them into the studio, do some clapping.
Nice.
Some background vocals.
How old are, like, what are their age ranges?
Our oldest just turned 12.
And, okay.
The other one is 8. So.
Nice.
Yeah, they love music. And
we have about 2 minutes to a break. I know you said these songs were not as long. Do you want to just play us out with one of your kids' songs and we can come back and talk more after the break?
Yeah, sure. Well, the main one that I was going to do, because I was going to call this second volume Be You.
Okay.
But I went away from that. And this was a song that I actually got to collab with a Green Bay band called Aurelia.
Okay.
They feature on this with some ukulele and background vocals. So
fantastic.
Well, BU.
Play us to the break and then we'll talk more after the break.
All right.
Great. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Hello, it's nice to meet you. You have a real nice smile. You've got a name and also a personality. Things that make us all unique, things to celebrate, things that make you special, things you should embrace. Be you. Nobody else can do what you do. Nobody else can whistle your tune. Just be you. You've got the things that you like. I've got some I do too. We both know that is alright. We don't have to be alike. We're not the same yet, that much is true.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Oh, fun night here. Coming up tomorrow night, folks, on Nightlight will be Max Hay. He is the writer-director of the film More Yes Now more, yes. I can't wait to talk to Max. This film looks so cool. He's Milwaukee based. He'll be here. And then Madison based film critic Rob Thomas will join us as he so often does. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Tonight's guest, our in studio guest, is brought to you by Chicken or the Egg Photography. Chris specializes in food, event, music, and product photography for businesses across Wisconsin and the Midwest. See what he can do for you at chickenortheeggphotography.com.
I know him.
Do you know him?
I know
him. He was here in the studio last week. We love Chris. Okay, he's great.
Yeah, yeah.
He does a good job, and he's always fun to have on the show. Mm-hmm. So you've had a good experience with him.
Oh, yeah.
All right. There's a testament, folks, to one of our sponsors.
We've played a couple shows together with our bands,
Oh, right, because he's a musician, too. That's fantastic. And our final text of the night, well, we've got stream comments that I can't see. I do know that Dave signed on, said, sup. No, Sid said, sup, Dave, and Dave said, listening to Pete and KK. So the bromance continues. The pals love it. Steady Eddie says, from the 608, I knew he was going to do this. Pete and Conrad, a nice Packer win last night. Right, Conrad? How did the Bears do yesterday, Pete? Well, I think you know that RLC wouldn't be asking Steady Eddie. He says, I'm so sorry. Not really. I expected nothing less. Seriously, last night it was heartwarming to see Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love praising each other and Coach LaFleur saying nice things about both his current and former QBs. I guess all the back and forth praise and positive talk was an example of what players and coaches in the NFL call complimentary football. That's in all caps. I don't know that Steady Eddie needed to use all caps, but you know what? He does what he wants. He's a texting legend. P.S. Frankenstein, in my opinion, is a great underappreciated actor. I'm afraid he's been typecast. 3 years ago, I saw him play Hamlet, mesmerizing, scary good, as are your texts, Steady Eddie. Thank you, sir. We have a couple more minutes with our new pal, Strategic, who is here in the studio. He played one of his songs that he plays as an acoustic rock artist. And now we're talking about his kids' music venture, which is, that was a great tune, Be You. I love it. And teaching kids like positive messages, I assume, is your goal there?
Usually,
yeah. You ever just write a song where you try to tear them down and give them issues for the rest of their lives?
Maybe I'll save that for volume 3.
Yeah, there you go.
Just totally flip it on its head.
Where are you playing? Do you have dates for Strategic or... Where would you play schools when you play kid shows and where do you play?
I'm actually trying to get into some schools and do like a school type program. So let's get that going. Right now I'm booking my Christmas tour.
Okay.
So got a couple dates lined up on that. I haven't announced anything on that yet, but probably once November hits, I'll do that. But I'll be at the Chris Kindle Market here in Green Bay.
Okay. Does that sound familiar, Con?
The On Broadway is doing that down here.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I'll be there.
That's fun.
And do you have an Appleton spot, obviously, but all around Wisconsin.
Do you have favorite venues around Wisconsin or Northeast Wisconsin more specifically?
I really liked the Lyric Room up here. I did a show up here at the Cup of Joy. The kids show I did over there back in August. I don't know. I wonder because I feel like I've played in Green Bay more than I've played in Appleton.
Okay.
Which is weird.
That doesn't matter, right?
But Gibson Music Hall down there is pretty fun. Did a show there. That was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. But
okay.
Yeah.
So where can people find out? You mentioned socials. Do you have a website where people can go with your tour or live playing information?
Yeah, so find Strategic on Facebook. Okay. Is where usually I post the show dates there first. And then as far as music, like Spotify and Bandcamp are the biggest ones. I do have a lot of videos on YouTube. I've got some kids' music videos I've been putting out, so I'll release a few more of those in conjunction with the new kids' album.
Okay.
So yeah, YouTube is pretty good too.
That's fantastic. I have to go, but you're going to play us out with another one of your kids' songs, which is great. But I have to ask you first, what are you watching on TV? When you're done writing by yourself or with your kids, what are you putting on the tube?
Right now I've been watching Home Improvement.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just remember watching it as a kid.
Okay.
So it's like, I have a lot of memories.
Comfort food.
So it's different watching it as an adult.
Yeah. Do you like the new Tim Allen show, the one Last Man Standing, or Still Standing?
I haven't watched the new one. The new one. I haven't watched that one.
All right. Hey, this has been fun here tonight, folks. I'd like to thank my guests, Emil Bertolot, Dustin Mack, Strategic, who is here and going to play us out. Thank you for all your texts and calls. Always so much more fun when you guys participate. We're going to come back and do it all again tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabe saying goodnight, Wisconsin, and Strategic is going to play us out. What's the song?
This is School's Back in Session. So this is called Hang It on the Fridge.
Love it. Here we go.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. It's been fun.
Dinosaur, you named him Greg. He only had head and 17 legs. Hang it on the fridge. Hang it on the fridge. Came home from school, project in your hand. It's made of cardboard, glitter, and some sand. Hang it on the fridge. Hang it on the fridge. Daddy, where'd my picture go? The one I made 3 years ago? Good question, I don't know. Let's check your portfolio. Sorry kids, can't find a spot for this latest masterpiece you've got. You scribble and sketch so many things. Our fridge is an amateur gallery. Hang it on the fridge. Hang it on the fridge.
Hang it on the fridge.
Hang it on the fridge.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, starting off the fourth quarter here. Tomorrow night on the show, John Roach will be here, TV producer, screenwriter, and director of the outstanding film, A Road at Night. John's been on before. He's going to talk about a screening they have coming up at the Driftless Film Festival. And then we have Carl Sarecki, who is from Door County Trolley and tells really great ghost stories about Door County. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now, we get back to our friend Rob Thomas, Madison-based film critic and CityCast Madison newsletter, who joins us from Madison. Rob, how you doing? You good?
I'm great.
I'm glad to hear that. It's always fun when you're here. I love talking movies with you. Tell us about Frankenstein.
So Guillermo del Toro has like wanted to make Frankenstein for like literally decades. And like he's kind of made kind of versions of this story. Like Shape of Water was about, you know, a monster and men, and like his last movie was Pinocchio, which was sort of a Frankenstein story, right? About a maker and its creation. And so this idea of like the monster and human beings and who's the real monster. And so he's finally got a chance to make it for Netflix. And he's obviously spent a long time thinking about this movie and this book and loving Mary Shelley's book, because it's a very faithful adaptation in a good way, I think, for the most part. Oscar Isaac plays Dr. Frankenstein, and Jacob Elordi plays the monster. And his performance is really incredible because he doesn't have the bolts in the neck like Boris Karloff.
Right.
He doesn't sing Putting on the Ritz like in Young Frankenstein. Like he plays him like a giant infant, sort of, who's just like, just the way he uses his body as he's sort of discovering existence is so different than anything you've seen in a Frankenstein movie. It's really cool. And Oscar Isaac, I think, is pretty great. He plays him as kind of like an Elon Musk tech bro who is like pursuing all these, you know, radical medical developments and not thinking about the consequences. I would say it's a little long. And the third act focuses mostly on the monster as he escapes. And it's a little dry after what's kind of gone on before. But in general, I liked it. And I was really happy I saw it on the big screen because like Del Toro uses the build these huge sets and there's all this detail. And so it's really worth seeing on a big screen to sort of get, you know, drink all that in if you can.
I assume there's no bathtub scene with Jacob Elordi in this, with him as Frankenstein.
From the- a salt burn type? No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. All right. Well, what did you think of Shape of Water? That movie, when I was done watching it, I liked it. I thought it was interesting, but man, I didn't know what the heck was going on. I mean, I could follow it, but I just didn't love it at the time, I guess.
Oh, I really liked it. And it was probably one of the most surprising Best Picture wins in the last 20 years. That's I never thought the Academy would go for a movie like that where, you know, a hot fish man seduces a woman, and, you know, basically. Right. And, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of, like I said, it was sort of a Frankenstein story about this creature, and it's like more human than, I remember the Michael Shannon character was sort of this government agent. And yeah, I really liked it. I haven't watched that, I don't think, since I saw it in theaters 10 years ago. But
Rob, I want to ask you about, what do you think of Roof Man?
I really liked Roof Man.
Same.
I was quite, honestly, a very pleasant surprise. Like, I've always liked Channing Tatum. But he's often not really gotten roles that kind of, I don't know. He's so like, he's such a hunk, but he's also such a goofball at the same time.
Right.
Like I think the 21 Jump Street movies got that, Magic Mike a little
Magic
bit,
Mike,
but like,
yeah.
And this one, he plays a real life character, this sort of gentleman burglar who would rob McDonald's, but was very nice to the employees as he was robbing them. Like, there's a story at the beginning of the film where he herds all the employees into the freezer, but gives them a big coat to keep them warm. Yeah. It's so great. Like he's like, you're just won over by this guy.
And then he calls the cops to go and get them outright. So right. He knows they're not going to freeze. Yeah.
Doesn't want to get the sniffles. Yeah. Right. He just robbed them. And so the whole movie, he's kind of like this nice guy, but he's also a criminal. He breaks out of prison. That's a great scene sequence, by the way.
Yeah.
And hides out in like a Toys R Us. Like he,
and, so cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, the one thing is that like he has this romance with a woman who works there, plays by Kirsten Dunst, who's great. But it's hard for me to believe that nobody figured out that this was the guy. And, you know, like he basically led this whole double life where he was like going to church and going out on dates and stuff like that. But it's just a very winning sort of comedy drama, kind of like they don't make him any like that anymore kind of movie that I was really happy to see. Yeah,
he was good. And I liked the message at the end. Like, you know, I don't want to give spoilers, but he said, you know, I wanted to get all this stuff for my daughter and my kids and material things. And he goes, and all they really needed was time with me. And it's such a heartbreaking message, but it's so, it rings true. And it's, I was surprised by how much I liked it.
Yeah. It was one of the pleasant surprises of the fall.
So let's get to another one that you saw, Rob. Sure. Blue Moon. This looks so good, and it's reviewing really well. This is Ethan Hawke, who is playing Lawrence Hart, who was the kind of the Pete Best of the Rodgers and Hammerstein. He left. I can't remember which one he was paired up with, but he was no longer, or he went off on his own, I guess. And Ethan Hawke plays him. At that time, right? When he was readjusting to life by himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rodgers and Hart had been together writing songs for musicals and movies for like 25 years. And like, he wrote like My Funny Valentine, and he wrote, well, Blue Moon, the title, like he wrote all these songs that are considered standards today. But yeah, this film takes place on the opening night of Oklahoma, which was Rodgers' first, musical without him, with Oscar Hammerstein. Yeah. Theater kids know all this.
I was in that show. That's the only reason.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was in high school, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big hit, right? Yeah. So, and so Hart sees it like, oh, this is passing me by. Like, this is going to be the biggest hit in Broadway history, and I'm being left behind. And it's set, it's all set basically one set or one location, this bar where the rap party is going to be, or the opening night party. And like Hawke is like, I've never seen him in a movie like this before, where he plays like a totally different kind of character than he is. He's like this, you know, kind of needy, you know, quippy, but really desperate and sad man who you know is sort of lurking in the shadows as his former partner gets all this glory. The film, like he looks different. He's trans. And you know, Lorenz Hart in real life was like 4'10" or something like that. So they shoot him. Wow. So he's very small in a way that's kind of distracting, but also kind of convincing and kind of helps you let go of it being Ethan Hawke and making you believe it's this different person.
Kind of a Clifford vibe with Martin
a
Short.
A little bit. I mean, it's not quite Dorf where he does the thing, where he, but you know, it approaches that.
Yeah.
But he's really good at it. I mean, really it's the movie's built around his performance, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. Rob Thomas is my guest. He's a Madison-based film critic and is the editor of the CityCast Madison newsletter. A great read. So definitely check that out as well as Rob's work on his Substack. So is this like a potential Oscar role for Ethan Hawke?
I would think so. Okay. Yeah, just because it's like, I mean, the Oscars kind of go for that kind of like,
yeah,
transformation, especially if you're playing a real person. Like I just saw, I haven't reviewed it yet, but I just saw the new Sydney Sweeney movie, Christy, where she plays that pro boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's really good in it and is completely different than you've ever seen her before. And wow, that's the kind of thing that Oscar voters seem to really like, is when you could really catch somebody acting, right?
I hope that doesn't affect her soap sales. That's my biggest concern.
I think she'll be okay. I think she'll be okay.
Yeah. You're all sweaty, you're boxing. What better way to...
Right. Yeah.
Soap up the loofah with your own soap. So you said, or I read your Substack review of Ballad of a Small Player with Colin Farrell. You seem kind of lukewarm on it.
Yeah, that comes out tomorrow on Netflix. And yeah, like I said in the review, I was never bored, but I was never really satisfied. Like it's Colin Farrell plays this high rolling gambler in Macau, which is, I think, a province in China, which is like basically the Vegas of that part of the world. It's just all casinos and these luxury hotels. And at first you think he presents himself like this, you know, this upper crust Brit, but then you start learning more about who he really is. And it's him trying, you know, he's losing badly. He's trying to get, you know, that one big score to kind of, you know, pay off his debts. And the film is like beautiful. It's like pink, you know, all these neon, and it's really fast moving. It was shot by the guy who made Conclave, which is very strange. It feels like a totally different looking movie. But it's just, there's kind of not much there. Like it's like, he's not that sympathetic a character. And at some point you're like, you don't really care whether he gets his money back or not. And then even he doesn't seem to really care. So like Farrell's good, but it's like, you know, I think you could start watching it and within 5 minutes you would know whether it's movie for you or not.
Well, Colin Farrell seems to have that issue in a lot of movies. He doesn't often play really likable characters. Is that on purpose, do you think, or is it just him?
I don't know. I mean, he's in like every frame of this movie, like his front and center and close up. And, you know, I think they're trying to make him this interesting, dark character with a lot of shades to him. I just wasn't that interested in him, to be honest with you. I've seen a variation of this movie a lot of times where somebody is an addict, in this case to gambling, and it's kind of like going down yeah, the tubes basically. And it was just sort of strange. I was like, this is the whole movie. Like, it's not gonna be anything other than this. And there's some fake out plot twist in the middle, which I sort of thought they were like kind of getting a little desperate to have something happen. And it's like I said, it's a beautiful looking movie, but I just didn't have much substance to it.
Rob, what about another film, The Mastermind, you reviewed? This fascinated me. I want to hear your thoughts on the film, but on Rotten Tomatoes, it got like mid-90s critics and the audience meter was 32%. Where's the discrepancy there? What the heck happened?
I believe it. It was, I go to these AMC Screen and Screen mystery movies.
Yeah.
And that was the movie a couple of weeks ago. And like, I could tell the audience was just not into it because it's like, it's sort of like a heist movie. But then it sort of peters out, becomes something different. And it's, I think it's kind of based on a true story. back in 1970, where this guy stole a bunch of paintings from a museum in Massachusetts. And so it's sort of set up like a heist, but then he gets caught, has to go on the run. I mean, I'd love to do sort of a character piece. The director Kelly Reichardt is one of my absolute favorites. And it's just so good at like getting the vibe and the details of 1970 America, right? It's like during the Vietnam War and the protests, but this guy played by Josh O'Connor is just very focused on like his own thing. So it's like, it's kind of a movie that I think promises more of a genre thriller than it ends up being. And okay. I bet that probably frustrates some viewers. I mean, I really vibed with it.
I've got one more movie to ask you about after this very short break. And then Rob is going to tell us about one or two things that are happening in our state's capital before Halloween. We'll do that next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We're in the home stretch here at Nightlight on a Tuesday, broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. This Tuesday night, JB Thompson, guy behind the guy, Conrad.
Behind the guy.
Says he likes chocolate in his belly. I have to be much more specific with my questions moving forward, I think. We will get to the rest of your text in just a moment, folks. We have a few more minutes with our pal, Rob Thomas. Who is a Madison-based film critic and the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Check it out. It's a great read, folks, and a terrific site. Rob, you saw the John Candy documentary, and you said if you like John Candy, you'll like the film. Does that mean it's not a great film, or it's just all things John Candy and it's great?
I think it's all things John Candy and okay. It's great. And also, how could you not like John Candy?
Exactly. Like, I mean, who doesn't like John Candy?
Yeah. Right. I mean, incredible, brilliant comic performer, and by all accounts, a very genuinely nice guy. And like the film does a good job. It was actually made by Colin Hanks, the son of Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks worked with John Candy. I think it was a Volunteers
Splash?
That movie.
Yeah.
Splash, oh yeah, Splash, duh, of course.
But I think you're right. I think Volunteer, they did two films together,
but,
I think.
Yeah, but Splash was the big one, I think. And Tom Hanks is in the film, talks about like John Candy really taught him how to like do like improv in scenes and like play off each other and be kind of loose in a way but the film like, you know, looks at his private life, his public life. You know, he was a family man. He got really famous. There are some incredible clips from SCTV, which I'd not seen.
So
since.
Funny.
And he's so good.
Yeah.
He plays so many, like just so many different characters. Like I forgot when he played Pavarotti, like so funny. Yeah. And you think like he was probably like in his 20s when he was like, he wasn't that old and he was just brilliant. So yeah, it's on Prime Video, I think. And definitely worth a watch.
I have to check it out. I still haven't seen it. I can't believe he's been gone 31 years.
Yeah.
He's died a year. That just doesn't seem right. Rob, let's get to a CityCast Madison article you wrote. Can you tell, for those of my listeners, and there are quite a few in Madison, what's happening this week leading up to Halloween? Sounds like there's some cool stuff going on.
There's a lot of good stuff. Yeah, there's, I think tomorrow night, Wednesday night, is the sort of the big downtown Halloween thing where you bring the kids. You can go trick-or-treating at local businesses. The whole square is set up with like all kinds of events and cool stuff, and it'll be a little chilly, but that's how it should be in Halloween, right?
Absolutely.
So that's really good. And then I don't know, this is the same in other cities, but there's like a tradition in the local music scene that on Halloween, local bands like will play as other bands, like they do cover like an entire set pretending to be like a tribute set. So like at the Atwood Music Hall, their bands pretend to be like Wilco and, you know, I think there's Queens of the Stone Age and a whole bunch of different ones, I think. I always think that's really cool because you can kind of see like, you know, who these bands really love, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and some, I think, take it really far and like we'll dress up and stuff. So, so it's coming up fast and then we'll be in November.
Very cool. And real quick, just Slow Horses season 5. How are you digging it?
I love it. Although every time I'm like, this is going to be over next week. It's only like 6 episodes a season usually, right? So it's,
yeah.
I think the next one's the last
tomorrow,
one.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I think it's been a really good season. It's always like, one thing is like, I feel sometimes they never give all the characters enough to do.
There's a lot of characters. I agree with you. Yeah.
This is a very Roddy heavy season. Roddy's hilarious. But like River and, you know, a couple other ones don't get, even Jackson Lamb is not in it that much. So that's my one quibble, but otherwise it's been a great season.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it too. Great stuff, Rob. Can't wait to do it again. Enjoy your office until your daughter gets home and, let's talk again soon, buddy.
Absolutely. Good to see you.
All right. You too. That's Rob Thomas. Check out his work on his Substack. He's so on movies and he reviews just, I went there today and I'm like, I can't even talk about all these movies. He's really a hardworking guy and does great work also at CityCast Madison. So, let's close out with some TexCon. What do you say?
Yes, I agree.
I like that enthusiasm. John, in the 608 says John Candy is special. Is that what he said? John just dropped. Oh, he saw the John Candy special. Amazing man. Lots of circumstances. If you didn't love him before, you do now. I think everybody already loves him. And John says, great guest in regard to Rob Thomas. Couldn't agree more, John. And John says, this dude talks like everyone I met in the 70s. He's awesome. Do you think he's talking about Rob Thomas or John Candy? Probably Rob Thomas, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I never thought of Rob as a retro. I always thought Rob was kind of a contemporary guy. But, you know, retro's good. Thank you, John. Steady Eddie chimes in the 608 says, my dearest chocolate, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. My dear sweet M&Ms, you are crunchy and sweet and so neat to eat. Because you melt in my mouth and not in my hands, I love you so much. I'm starting to feel uncomfortable reading this, Steady Eddie. He says, sweet Hershey bar, you were my first true chocolate love since the day you arrived in my life, all the way from Hershey, PA. You used to cost me a nickel when we first met and each bite was an inspiration. But that was long ago, and now I must pay more than a dollar for your chocolate deliciousness. But love, you are still a bargain at 15 times that nickel price. Please always be true to me, and I will always be true to you. Steady Eddie. Do you think he meant to send that to us, or was that...
That's a beautiful text. It made me tear up a little bit over here.
It was. I was starting to think there was... But a nickel? How old is Steady Eddie?
I don't know. When was
I'm going to say low 70s. Would that be right, Steady Eddie? Let us know, buddy. Bridget in the 818 says, in a cookie. I love chocolate chip cookies. I agree, Bridget in the 818. And that's our second chocolate chip cookie text. That's great stuff. Anna from Madison says, Pete, please ask Rob. Oh, I just saw this. Damn it. Pete, please ask Rob if he saw Song Sung Blue, the movie with Kate Hudson and Hugh Jackman. I wish I would have seen this, Anna. I'm sorry. I really want to see it. I don't think Rob has seen that yet. And then 608 says, hey guys, lightly salted.
She said that's a picture of Fritos too.
Oh, yeah. They have lightly salted Gross. Fritos. Thank you for, Gross. No, that's good stuff. I'm with you, 608. Thank you very much. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow night to do it all again on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Thank you to Rob Thomas. Thank you to Max Hay. Good luck with the film. And thank you for all your texts. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.